that's our prayer every day. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. Which one? Brother Daniel and Sister Vicki are getting more and more excited and probably more and more nervous and with greater expectations as each moment passes by. Amen. We're praying for them, for their trip. Looking so forward to hearing what the Lord does. Mm-hmm. And we know He will do things. Mm-hmm. No question about that. And so let's just remember to keep praying over that situation. And all the trip and every detail and even things here at home. Mm-hmm. Take care of things here at home while they're away. And today we believe God can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's just go ahead and open our Bibles, and I'll probably refer to a lot of scriptures tonight that I didn't give her, and then there's several that we will read. But let's begin reading in St. John chapter 1. And the title of this tonight is All Things the Word. It may sound like a strange title, but hopefully by the end of the service it will make sense. All Things the Word. St. John chapter 1, verse 1, one of my favorite scriptures. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's pretty clear, isn't it?
Right.
Amen. Even the devil.
Yeah.
Right? He wasn't even made except by the Word. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word that was God, with God was God, right? And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now I want to go to Colossians chapter 1 now. Chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, what a wonderful moment in time we can read these scriptures and hear them talk about you and about how great you are and all of the things that pertain to you. It's such a blessing to be able to look at these things and Lord, to know and have an understanding that you've given us of these things, that we're not confused about the Godhead. We just want to tell you, Lord, we thank you. And tonight, as we look into these things, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you touch everyone, even those that are streaming and will stream later. We just pray, God, that you would bless them with your words. And so we just commit all these things into your hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. All things of the Word. You know, before I get started, you know, Christians don't die.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen? Christians don't die. When I say that, I think about the story where Brother Branham went to Brother Bosworth as he was passing from this world. And Brother Branham said to Brother Bosworth, he said, what's the greatest time of your life? Because Brother Bosworth was with Brother Branham in many of the meetings and had his own ministry. And he said, what's the greatest thing that you, of all your life, most highlight of your whole life, what would be the greatest thing or the greatest time? And Brother Bosworth said, right now.
That's right.
Right now, as he's ready to, about to pass. And Brother Branham said, well, you know you're dying, don't you? And Brother Bosworth said, I cannot die.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And my prayer is that every one of us come to that kind of understanding, that kind of revelation, that kind of walk with the Lord, that kind of peace with God.
Yes.
And so that we could look at whatever's coming at us, no matter what or when, we could look at that and say, this is the greatest time of my life right now, like Brother Bosworth said, because at any moment he's going to walk through that door, the one that I've lived for all these years, he's going to walk through that door and come get me.
Right.
That's just the way he was describing it. Of course, Brother Bosworth got up and was shaking hands for hours with people that had gone on long before. And you may say, well, those people weren't there. He saw them. Yeah. It was enough to make a man that was dying on his deathbed get up and start shaking hands with people
that
you couldn't see, but he could see them.
Right.
So I pray that we all can get to that place where we understand Christians don't die. We just change places, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, death is eternal separation. And that's never going to happen to a believer. Once you come into that sealed away experience with God, you'll never be without the presence of God. You may not always feel that, but he's there, and he will be. And so, in St. John, we were talking here about, as we read there, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and it was God. And I remember a day when that was confusing to me, and it probably is to a lot of people, but just keep asking the Lord, who will give liberally, as the Scripture said. And if you're sincere in your heart and you're letting the Lord lead you, He will help you understand these things. And so, anyway, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so, we know from the message, glorious things that the Lord has brought to our attention in this day, that there is only one form of eternal life, and that's God. God is the only one who has eternal life.
Right.
Now, he can share it, right? Right. But that is an attribute that belongs to him and him alone.
Right.
Satan doesn't have it, right?
Right?
And no one else has it except those that are offspring of God, because it's the life that God gives. So God is eternal. And that's hard for us to comprehend. You know, your mind just can't wrap around having always been and never ending, right? Because that's just the limitation that we have in our mind. But you know, we accept that as truth. And you know what? If I'm gonna trust my destination to someone, I want to trust it to someone who's always been and always will be, right? I don't want to trust it to somebody that might fizzle out someday.
Right.
I want to trust myself to someone that's much bigger than me, right? And the God that I know is much bigger than me.
Yeah.
And so God is eternal. And we know that the Scripture says the invisible God. Now, the Scripture says that the Word, we just read it there, that all things were made by him and for him, and whether it was visible or invisible.
Right.
So if we could leave this realm and go off into the realm where the angels are, and where then even those things were created by the Word, is what we saw there. But even beyond that, God dwells in a place and a realm of his own that no man can approach to, according to Scriptures, right? And so that's that eternal God, and in him was all the wisdom that there ever could be. He has all that, and as Brother Branham would say, he can't learn, right? Because he already knew it.
Right.
That's part, that's infinite. He can't learn. He can't forget. He's not senile. So here's this great being out in this realm that we wouldn't even know he would be there if we existed. We wouldn't know. We can't get to him.
Yeah.
Right? And so he's in that realm, and he has thoughts. All the wisdom that there ever could be, he has had that all bottled up in him and so forth. And he had desires. He had a desire to be a family.
Yeah.
Right? Not just have a family. That's not the right way to say it. But to be a family. Meaning that he himself would become. And so he, dwelling in that realm with his thoughts, and we know how Brother Branham come along, and we just read it there, you know, that God took his thoughts, and we realized that he spoke his word. And the simple understanding that before you can speak a word, it has to be a thought. So you realize that when the word was spoken by God, God was transferring that wisdom he had from eternity, and he put it in that word. So when that word would go forth, there was that package of wisdom and all, everything, you know, there. And so he spoke. And so I've said this before that, you know, when it says, in the beginning was the word, and it was with God, and it was God. But what about before it was spoken? Right? So for me, the way I look at it is before the beginning was eternity. Where God had all these things, but the beginning was when he took those thoughts and he spoke them into word.
Right.
There's your beginning, and right at that moment you can say, there's God, there's the word, and that word is with God, and as we'll talk a little bit further, it is God, right? It was God.
Right.
So the word came forth, and as Brother Graham tells us, that word, it is the Logos. As we talk, there's Rhema word and there's Logos word. There's a teaching word. You know, I can tell you something and you may misunderstand what I'm saying and go away with the wrong idea. But Logos is what's spoken and the thought with it. So if I speak something to you and you get the thought behind of what I'm saying, you're not deceived. You understand what I'm saying.
Right.
So I don't want just the teaching word, the letter of the word. I want the Logos word. I want the understanding of what comes with that word. Because when you have the understanding of that word, you're getting back into the mind of God.
Right.
And you're beginning to understand things that laid there in eternity. And so that word came forth and is the Logos. And as Brother Rim tells us, that was the Son of God.
Right.
Right? A lot of people think, well, the Son of God didn't come along until Jesus was born. Christ didn't come until Jesus was born. Very clearly found in scriptures can show you that before Jesus became to this earth as a man, he existed and talked to people, fellowship with people, did things in the Old Testament before he ever became a man, born of woman. And so we understand that. And so this thought of God became word. That word was the Logos that came out from God. And so words come out from the one who spoke it. And a son comes out from his father. So that's why we can say these things. And so this word that came forth being the Son of God, yet it was God. It was God's. It was the beginning of God creating. The first thing he created was his spoken word. And then by that word, he created all things. Invisible, visible, all whether principalities, whatever, we just read it. By that word, by Jesus Christ the word. And so the scripture is telling us that's God. And the way I just wrap my head around that, try to, is that invisible God built him a body, spoke and created himself a body, and he got in that body. Right? And so the way you get to God is through the body. The way I get to Brother Daniel is through his body, right?
Yeah.
So the way you get to God is through the word. That's why Jesus said, no man can come to the Father but by me. Because he's the word, right? He's the body. So we approach God through his word, right? And so, you know, I think Brother Daniel's working on his air conditioner. Brother Daniel just didn't sit on the couch and send his spirit.
Right.
He sent his flesh went.
Right.
He went in his flesh, and his flesh went and worked on that air conditioner. Right? And so God didn't just stay up in that invisible realm. He sent forth a body that he dwelled in, and that body went to work. And so that body went to work to create and to do and express and do all the things that was in God that he wanted. So that was the purpose of the Word coming forth. That was the purpose of the Son of God, was to reveal God and perform God's will. To carry out, create, and do everything that God wants. That's the purpose of the Son of God, to express the Father. Amen. And if a son, you know, if the word goes out, and then that word is a perfect expression of the thought. We're talking about God, right?
Yeah.
Perfect expression. So a son that's really obedient to the Father goes in him. That's why when a son comes adopted in biblical adoption, that's when he comes to adoption, the father says, listen to everybody. Listen to him. Right? His word's just as good as mine. Why? Because he's in unity with the father. And the father doesn't have to get up or go down there and purchase something because the son can do it. Because the son is in perfect unity with the father. So the word has to be in perfect unity with thought. The Son has to be in unity with the Father. And when that's happening, then that Word is always doing the will of the Father. That's why Jesus said, I don't do my own will. It's only the will of the Father. What He shows me, that's what I do. Right? So there's a unity with the thought of God. God in His thoughts and His Word. And so that's the purpose of the Son of God, the Word of God, was to come and reveal God. And it's the very body that he expresses himself through. And with that body, all things were created by him and for him. And so, we understand that word was all through the Old Testament. You know, we know about Melchizedek, that being God, and even you know, in a flesh form, and talked to Abraham and so forth. So, God was all through the Old Testament. The word was expressing itself. The word of the Lord coming to prophets. And then one day that word became flesh. It became the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, was it just like a prophet, Moses, a word coming to the prophet and a prophet speaking as though they were gods? But now, God has become man. Not just anointed a man, but now he has become flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Now he has become, now here's a man that is God, literally, in flesh,
yeah.
Right? So he's God in flesh, and so now a man can begin to say and do and express that invisible God. Now a man's doing that, right? Everybody follow me? And so now Jesus in that form, and I'll read these, and you've read them, and I got them listed here. If you want to see where they're at, I can tell you. But here's a man that now he can say, a man can say, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. What man could say that? No man could. But now we have a man here, I'm speaking, you know, when he was born, now we have a man who can say that.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's God.
Right?
So he can say that. He can say, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away.
Right.
Amen? Jesus said at one place in there, he said, and I really love this, you know, just because of the way I see it, but when he was talking to him, and he said, you know, they had the law of Moses and all the commandments and so forth, and that was what they call the law. And Jesus is saying to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, whoever he was in discussion with there, and he says, isn't it written in your law? Talking about the law of Moses, the thing they were living by, right? He said, isn't it? And that law, where did it come from? God had delivered that law to them through a prophet, had vindicated. They had hundreds of years that they had lived by that, and God would deliver them when they turned back to that law and that word, right?
Yeah.
So that was the word of God. And God proved that it was his word. But Jesus standing there, he said, isn't it written in your law, that I said, you are God's. Right?
Right?
Here's a man that can say that. No wonder they wanted to stone him because they didn't know who he was. No wonder they were having a cow, because here's a man saying these things.
Right.
He said, it's written in your law, but you know, that I said you're God's. Jesus said, these words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. What kind of man could say that? This man could, because the word had been made flesh. The body of God was now standing there breathing. Had to take a bath just like we do. And I don't know if they had teeth, to something to brush their teeth with back then or not. I don't know. But you understand, he got tired. He got hungry. He needed to rest in the boat.
Yeah.
Just like you and I, right? Because remember, Scripture said he was tempted in all points like us. So, and he knows how to overcome. So that's why he can help us.
Yeah.
Because he's been there. But he was all flesh, all man, but he was all God.
Yeah.
Right? That's the mystery. The mystery is not Trinity. The mystery is that here's God as a man, right?
Right.
And not just the second person. That's something man's created, but the person. Because if you read the Bible, if you take someone who's never heard anything about it and you let them read this Bible, they will not come up with Trinity, three different gods. Right. They will not. You can't do it just reading the book of John alone. You can't come up with that idea, right?
Right.
Let me make sure I'm clarifying that. If you read the book of John, you'll understand that Jesus Christ was not a different person. He was the same person,
right?
Right.
Right. And the Holy Ghost was the same person,
right?
Right. Just in different offices. And that's what you'll get when you read your Bible instead of listening to something. And so he says, these words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Right? I don't know anyone else could say that. But he can.
Right.
Right? And by the way, I've said this in the past too, not to repeat so much, but if his words are spirit and life, then Satan's word is spirit and death. Mm-hmm. Right? And you're fighting a spiritual warfare. So, in one place there in John chapter 7, verse 17, he says, he's speaking to the Father, saying, thy word, which is him. He's the word, right? He said, thy word is truth. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And in other places, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the light, as we read there. He's the light of men, to light men that come into the world.
Right.
So I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And thy word is truth, which he was that word. And he says in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the word, and the word shall make you free.
Right.
You shall know the body, the expression of God, and it shall make you free.
Right.
See, I'm not twisting it up. It's just same thing. You shall know these things. You shall know the person of God, and it shall make you free. Not just set you free because you get dead again, right? But it'll make you free. In Psalms chapter 107:20, he sent his word and healed them. Right. So I hope you're beginning to see the picture here. God, in everything he's doing, and he does it with his word.
Yeah. Right.
Right. His own expression is the word. Mm-hmm. His own, when he wanted to come down and be among us, that's the way he's among us. If you want the blessing of God in your life, give honor to the word.
Yeah.
It's impossible for you to not have that blessing in your life if you're giving honor to the word. Right. Because God, as Brother Bram had that conversation with that Catholic priest, and the Catholic priest said, God is in his church, and Brother Bram said, God is in his word.
Right.
Because that's exactly where he is. And so, but he sent his word and healed them. Jesus could come in that flesh form, and he could come down and he could lay hands on somebody and heal them, but he also could stand back over here and send his word and heal them.
Yeah.
And there's no difference, because it's the same being.
Right.
Whether it's Whether because the scripture is showing us it's light, it's life, it's the word, it's the logos, it's the person. It's all, whatever form it's in, it's still God. And he can work through all of those forms to do what he does, to express himself. And so he sent his word and healed him. Jesus standing there at the grave of Lazarus and cried with a loud voice, words, and called a man who had been dead 4 days from some place. Brother Branham said, I don't know where he was, and I don't believe you do, but wherever he was, that same word standing there in flesh form and now speaking penetrated whatever realm that was and called that man back by his word. And so he can do all these things and through any of these things that I'm speaking of here. And so one place Jesus said, every man that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now think about that. At first we said a while ago, no man can come to the Father except by him, because the Father is dwelling in him. Right. And so, but Jesus said, every man that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh to me. So if you've heard of the from the Father, what'd you hear? You heard Jesus.
Yeah.
You heard the word, mm-hmm. right? And, of course, you can't just hear it. You have to comprehend it, right? That's why Brother Bram said you could say to a drunkard, did you hear what the preacher said? Yeah, I heard it. But he didn't really hear it,
yeah.
right? But a person, he really hears it. So every man that hears this word and absolutely comprehends it, receives it, right?
Right.
Every man that hath heard and learned from the Father will come to Jesus Christ. So every man that hath heard of the word will come to the word.
Right.
Yeah. That's important. Because how does God do it? He uses his word to get a hold of you, and he brings you to a position of the word.
Right.
You become an expression of the word yourself. And so, we'll go read in St. John chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. And Jesus contending with them, or them contending with him, rather. He said, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? It's a good question, huh? Mm-hmm. But look at this. No man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Now, who had come down from heaven? He had. Right? So no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, and I'm putting my words in there, even the Son of Man who's standing here talking to you, which is in heaven. He's standing there talking to them, and he says, he's in heaven. And you could say, you're not. You're right here. Right? You're right here. How could you say that? You're a deceiver. But when Brother Ram comes along, he brings clarity to that. And he says, heaven consists of the word. In a natural thing, if we look up in heaven, we can't really go there unless we have some special instrument to take us there, and then we have to come back or whatever. So, you know, that's a realm that's well above us and takes much greater intelligence and things like that to get us there, whatever. These are natural types of spiritual heaven. God dwells in a realm called heaven, right? But where is he? He dwells in his word. So heaven consists of the word. And so Jesus was the word. And that's where God dwells. And we'll read here in St. John chapter 10, verse 1 through 9. This is where he talks about being this door, this sheepfold. We'll read through it, and then I'll make the comments I want to. So, verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, he's talking about the door to the sheepfold, mm-hmm. he that entereth not by that door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Now he tells us a little later, we'll read it, that he's that door. So if you come any other way than through the word, you're a thief and a robber.
Right.
That's what he just said. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. All right? Now he's the door, but he says, now you've got to enter in, you got to enter in by the door. And so to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Right? He does this first to lead the way. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus to them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Amen? And so, when you look at this here, Jesus says, there's only one way in and out, and that's through the door. And he said, I'm the door. And he's also telling us that he came through that very same door.
Right.
So that's the point I want to get to, is that Jesus is the Word, and yet he come through the Word. He was the Word made flesh, but he couldn't come any other way than through his own, the own Word that he was. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, Jesus was the Word, and came through the Word. And by this showing us the example of how we are to live and what we are to be. Remember when Jesus was being tempted, tested, tried by Satan in the wilderness? And all three times he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And it was just three temptations that Eve fell for. Right? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, it's written, it's written, it's written. And Brother Bram said, Jesus could have smote Satan any way he wanted to. He could have used his great power and smote him any way he wanted to. But he didn't do it for you and I. Because he wanted to show you and I that you can defeat the devil any day as long as you stay with it as written. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And stay with the Word. Right? And so, giving us an example to come by the Word only. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so, at the end time, as we've read and mentioned so many times here in the Laodicean discourse to the Laodicean age, he says he was the faithful and true witness. So all the way through the ages, all the way down here at the end time, his attributes that he expresses to us here in this last day is a faithful and true witness. And I want to ask you something. If you witness to something, what is it you're witnessing to? He's going to show up here on this end time in a ministry, and he's going to be a faithful and true witness. What is he going to be witnessing to? He's going to be witnessing to the promised word of this day.
Right.
And I say that's what he's done. He
mm-hmm.
has done that in our day. And so I'm bringing it all the way down through the ages here to show you that it's the Word. In every form and every fashion, God is in his Word. Whether it's spoken, whether it's in flesh, whether it's written, and you read it, God is in all those forms, and he is here doing, expressing the will of God through all of those things. And can be in flesh of your brothers and your sisters. Amen. And so in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 16, I don't know if I gave it to her, I guess I did. But look here. Now this is when he's coming to bring judgment. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was faithful, was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as flaming fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Amen. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his name was called the Word of God. They're written there for a reason, for us to understand that it's always, always the Word. That's why in this day, Brother Branham, that's the whole ministry, get back to the Word. And so, as I said earlier, the purpose of the Son of God, the Word of God, was to express God, express the nature of God, the will of God, that people might see God and understand His program and so forth. That's what the purpose of the Son of God was, and that's what the purpose of every son of God, every daughter of God is to come here to express the invisible God. That's why Brother Brennan talked about a God with skin on him. Yeah. That's what we are to be to the generation that we're around us. They might not understand it, but we are to be the God, the invisible God made known and present among them, Him working through us. And remember, as Brother Brennan said it, the same God that sent Jesus went in Jesus, and then Jesus said, "Now as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you." And the same Jesus that sent us goes in us, right? And so that way, if somebody receives you, they receive Him, and if they receive Him, they receive the one that sent Him. It's real simple. Why? If I would receive Brother Daniel, then I'm receiving the Spirit that lives in him, right? So if you want to receive God, you've got to receive the Word, whether that's written form, a preacher preaching the gospel, and this goes right back to where he said, "My sheep know my voice." Right? Well, we all understand, like spiritual amnesia, right? When you get somebody around familiar places, then their memory begins to come back. And that's why getting us into the presence of the Word and begin to preach the gospel, we might be a sinner, but if we were there and God begins to bring this Word across our pathway, we start remembering, we start hearing that Word because it's beginning to spark something in us that we were partakers of before we ever come here in the mind of God, right? Yeah. And so His sheep know His voice. There's something in you that makes you hear it and understand it. And these other things that tried to talk to you and tried to deceive you didn't hold you, didn't work because they're strangers. But you understand the Word. Something in you causes you to hear that voice. What is it? It's the Word you're hearing. Right? It's all things by the Word. Amen? And so, I've seen that demonstrated about, and y'all probably have too, of them sheep and a shepherd standing on the side of the road and maybe it might have been Christian people, I don't know, but all them people, they ran up there and there was a bunch of sheep out there, and every one of the people standing there they were demonstrating this too, they all walked up there and they tried their best to holler at them sheep, get them sheep to come. How many's ever seen that? Tried to get them sheep to come and they never had paid one bit of. But as soon as that shepherd walked up there and spoke, here they come. Because the sheep know the shepherd's voice.
Right.
And it's a voice of His Word. And that voice that stood there and called Lazarus and said, "Come up, come forth," is the same voice I'm talking about. It's the same voice, same Word that was spoken in the beginning, now lives in the heart of us, and we become an expression of that same Word. It's all God. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so, now you know why Christians don't die. Because they are the Word.
Right?
Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word will not pass away. Right. And so there's, you know, as Brother Bram said, and it's true, the concept of an eternal Son doesn't make sense. Because a Son has to be born. But when you're talking about God, the eternal God, coming forth in His expression. And He still packs that same eternal characteristics and that eternal wisdom and understanding and eternal purpose is now in flesh. So it is eternal. And that's what lives in you and I. And if Brother Bram said, if you have it tonight, you always were. Right? And he said, if you weren't there in that representation then you're not tonight.
Right.
Right? So don't let that scare you, because the whole gospel that you're coming here and listening to every week is the voice of the word that you're hearing, and it's making sense to you and it's speaking to you because you're hearing the voice of your shepherd, right? You're hearing the voice of the word. And so don't let that scare you, because that right there shows you that you have representation there, because you do hear it, right? Proof of his love, all right, is in his election, in his beloved.
Right.
And so that's why Christians don't die. They just change places because they have eternal life in them. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Just bow our hearts and pray for a moment. Lord, as we come to the end of the service, we want to thank you for this opportunity to be with your people tonight and to share these things that you put on my heart. And Lord, it's always a blessing to be able to speak about you and about what you've done and all your promises, Lord. We embrace these things, Lord. We ask God that you just help us just open up our hearts and receive in full form everything that you have for us, that you want to express through us. We love you. We thank you for these things, Lord. We pray that you just commit them into the hearts of your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's try to sing "I'll Fly Away." I don't know what key. We'll just have to figure this out on the fly, but listen. Another one I heard sing many times when I was a kid.
Some bad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. In the shadows of this life that grows.